Well, good evening. All right. the schedule came out, I don't know, a long time ago. And I knew this day was coming. And I knew what I wanted to talk about, which is really weird. So I thought, well, I'll start, and still came down the last minute. But anyway, I wanted. All right. When I say meditation, what do you think of? Yeah. You know, stretchy pants and cross-legged and you know, some incense maybe and humming or something along that, some kind of a mantra. And so, you know, I keep reading about meditation, and here I got a snippet here. Nope, hold on. This came in a Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance thing, and it says they're always giving you helpful hints, and you know, eat blueberries and broccoli and that kind of stuff. Anyway, it says meditation may be the most powerful way to de-stress and quiet the mind. Through deep breathing, quiet contemplation, and narrowing of focus, just 20 minutes of daily meditation can be effective and at reducing overall stress levels. Research suggests meditation may help reduce blood pressure, lower your risk of cardiovascular disease, and ease anxiety and depression, among other health benefits. I'm going down through that list, I'm going, I'd better pay attention to this. So I've been thinking about that for a long time, probably years. And so I thought, well, now's my chance. I know I want to talk about this, and I got over a month, and I'm going to start meditating. And I'll have experience. And then when I give the lesson, you know, have experience. So, anyway, so I was like, all right, where do you start? And so I found I didn't bring my phone, magazine article at the library, and it had I'm in the magazines. I like, tell me what to do, draw me a picture, and then get out of my way. It had a little thing. I took a picture of it. I said, 10 minutes. Get in a comfortable position, so nothing painful. And have a mantra. And I'm interested in the biblical side of it is what I was wanting. But the Bible doesn't really talk about it, I thought, and doesn't give me a... tell me how to do it and draw me a picture. Doesn't do that. So anyway, so I thought, well, I'll try this. And the first day, I doing my mantra. I can't even remember what it was now. It was something like God is good or something like that. So I tried 10 minutes. Oh, that was a long 10 minutes. Finally got done. Next day, I got through about 2 minutes of it, and I'm like, oh, this is stupid. And I get up and go do something else. So that was the end of my meditation. I'm not very good at it. And I thought, well, I got a lesson to get. And so I kept trying. I kept reading. I got several of these books. You know, I went to the library. They got a big area of... health and self, yeah, all kinds of stuff. But can you find a book on meditation? No. So I finally thought, I found a couple that were about the brain. Well, I'll bet there's I looked through the glossary. Yeah, there's several pages on I keep wanting to say medication. Meditation. And this one's really good. I would recommend you read it. But he's Christian, or Catholic, I believe. But where was I going? So I kept hunting. I got to find it, figure this out. So I'm tripping over all the fancy techniques and all the stuff it's supposed to do for you, the meditation. And so finally, it's getting real close to today, and I think it was like a week ago, and I was like, I got to figure something out, and so I just looked up all the meditation, you know, in the Strong's. I should have done this a long time ago. And they're all in Psalms. Like, well, what's up with that? And so I'm looking at it. And so meditation, biblical meditation, is nothing like the picture of meditation in the modern world or old world, whatever it is. And so anyway, the definition for meditation in the old, this is in Hebrew, which I found out the Greek refers back to the Hebrew. So if you got the Hebrew, you got the Greek in this case. I thought that was a little strange. But definition of meditation is to murmur in pleasure or anger. Think about that for a second. I murmur a lot. In pleasure sometimes, and most of the time in anger. So keep that in mind. By implication, to ponder. Oh, I like pondering. I like thinking, mulling things over. Imagine. Oh, I like that too. I'm an imaginer. I'm the kid they said, don't put him by the window in school. Yeah. And then they put meditate in there. It's like, oh, thanks. That does me a lot of good. Mourn. How's mourning like meditating? And mutter. I do a lot of muttering. And then roar times soar. And like, took me a little bit. And then I thought, a picture popped in my head. Picture walking through the kitchen in the dark. And four of your toes decide to go around the left side of the chair leg, and one toe decides to go around the right side. That's roaring with times sore. Okay. Speaking. I speak a lot. Study. I like to study. Talk and utter. Those are also kind of repetitive. So that's what the definition of meditation is in the Bible. Whole lot different than I was expecting. Whole lot different. there's a second definition as well. This one made me feel better. Margaret's not here. She would appreciate this. I may have used this before. It seemed awfully familiar. Maybe somebody else used it, and that's why. But anyway, to ponder, or meditation means to ponder, and by implication, converse, and then in parentheses it says, with oneself, and hence, aloud. All right. I've always worried about that. Or utter and commune, complain, declare, meditate, muse, pray. So prayer is meditation. Speak and talk. Talk with. So I assume that's kind of like praying or talking to yourself. So, I was thinking about these, and I was like, I'm not doing so good with that. I'm not very good at this kind of meditation either. And so, meditation, this is my interpretation of what the meaning of meditation is. Meditation is what pops out when you're happy, woohoo, or angry. very rotten dog. Yeah. Something like that. Or what my mind keeps going back to. You know, you're not doing anything. Or maybe I am doing something and my mind still goes back to it. Just this morning during the Lord's table, Tim did a nice job with the Lord's table. It fits with this as well. But they were actually passing the emblems. I mean, it's not that far from here to there. And when they picked them up, my mind was on Jesus. And then by the time it got to me, I was thinking about burning car tires. I don't know how I got there exactly, but it's just really kind of strange sometimes. I was like, well, all right, never mind, just get back on task. So, anyway. Then, so what my mind keeps going back to. What I like to roll over and over in my mind. You could probably all have something like this. Something that just, you just like to play with it. It's just, feels good. And it's comfortable to think about, and it just rolls and easily in your head. Over and over and over again. And what's, and this one, this is how you check yourself, basically. Or at least how I check myself. What subject you always end up on when you talk with me? I mean, what subject do I always end up on? And then also, for the second definition, what I say to myself on a regular basis. Not very nice to me. So I am a meditator. I do meditate. I meditate all the time. I meditate when I walk. You know, there's walking meditation. They tell you, find about 10 yards where you can walk without obstruction. And this is the modern kind. And you're to walk. And you're not to pay attention to where you're going. So that's why no obstructions. And you are to just pay attention to what your feet are doing. How your ankles feel. How your foot's hitting the ground. And then maybe you get up to your knees. So you get to your knees. And then if you start thinking about too much other stuff, you're supposed to go back to your feet and your knees. So that's what bothered me about modern, I'm calling it modern, it's old, but modern meditation is because it's all inward. It's all, as Marvin, I've heard Marvin say, contemplating your navel. So you're all focusing in on yourself. So, and that always bothered me because I'm not all that great to think about. I mean, I mess things up. So anyway, I was going through this, and I wanted to read some of the Psalm scriptures. So I'm going to hopefully go through these pretty quick, and I'm on the wrong page. Oh, no, I'm not. Psalm 63. Read the first 8 verses. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land, where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. So by the definition of the biblical definition of meditation, it's very broad. It's basically all communication or thought, or thought, I think. I haven't thought that through, but I think that's what it is. It's communication with myself. It's communication with God. It's communication with others, because when I speak and I talk, that is shining a light on what is inside of me, right? What comes out of a man is what he puts in it, or that's a terrible rendition of, we're going to read it later, but the fruit of what comes out of me is what I've put inside of me. So all that is meditation, and that's what's coming out. And that's what David here is talking about. He is thirsting for God, so he's putting in God, and then he's all these things he's searching for and hunting down, basically. All right, Psalms 5. I'm reading on the ESV, mainly because my other Bible's falling apart. So, Psalms 5 and 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. So, this person here is meditating. He's praying. He's praying to God. And one of the things I have this book up here for is he talks about how our brains get confused sometimes. How our brains communicate or receive information, and he talks about meditation, how it's very helpful to the brain. He talks about prayer, and how he puts it right in the same paragraph as meditation, is prayer, and he talks about singing as well. And what are the Psalms? Where did I find almost all the scriptures for meditation? It was in the Psalms. And the Psalms were songs, I believe, if I understand correctly. They were sung or to music. And so, in a form of meditation. So, all right. Continuing on. Psalms 19 and 14. Ooh, turn right to it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. See here, what are our meditations? And of my mouth and my heart. It's what comes out, it's what goes in, and it's what makes us a faithful servant of Jesus. Or, well, maybe that may not be right, but it's our fruit. And what is our fruit? It proves what kind of a tree we are. Proves if we're good or bad. Okay? So it's very good to analyze yourself and look at the fruit you're producing. Look at your murmurings when you're angry. Okay? So that's what happened when I tried to separate that pinky toe from the rest of my toes. What came out? What happened? What was my reaction? So that is a peeky hole into what my condition is on the inside. A lot of times I come here and it's like answering the telephone. I can be screaming at my kids. Phone rings. Hello, how are you? You having a good day? You know, 2 seconds ago I was ready to kill somebody, and they would have no idea on the other end of the phone. And that's kind of what we come here, and we put on our best clothes and put on our show, and sometimes what our life is really like is not like that. And so pay attention to when you stub your toe, because it's a look at the rest of your life as well. I was reading David, King David, went through. And I've been reading. I just finished. Well, no, I think tomorrow I finish up his life. And he had some ups and downs in his life, and God was always a major part of even his downs. He would. That's what I hope. I hope that when I hit the bottom, that I flip over and I'm looking straight up at God, I hope. And I would worship God like Job. Job did that. Job just banged off the bottom of the barrel, didn't he? And he just bounced off the bottom and was praising God. That's just very, very impressive to me. Not sure I'm at that point. Pretty sure I'm not. So, anyway, where were we? All right, go to 49, 1 through 4. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditations of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb, I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. I threw that one in there because it includes everybody. That's kind of rare in the Old Testament. The Old Testament seems to be kind of exclusive to the Jews for good reason. That's what it was about. So, but every once in a while, some of these are good to hear. And then that last verse, to the music of the lyre, and we're going to get into that just a little bit later. Okay. 104. Thirty-three to thirty-four. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. And I must say, never before, the last couple days, I've never put singing, well, that I recall anyway. Maybe I have. I've never put singing and meditation in the same box. I always thought singing was worship to God and meditation was something else. And I just never considered them in the same box. All right. And then let's go to Luke 6. 43 through 45. This is Jesus speaking. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And I guess this is wasn't exactly where I wanted this lesson to go, but this is, I guess where it went, kind of a confession on my part. My life has been not exactly where I wanted it to be, not I don't know. I haven't screwed up royally, I don't think. But I just haven't been exactly where I want to be. So I was kind of noticing the fruit on my tree, and it's like, don't particularly like that thorn there, or that rotten banana, or, you know, whatever, pick whatever you want. But wasn't happy with what was on there. So I was doing some looking anyway and some searching. And let's flip over to Galatians 5 and 22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and to those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, so I realize I'm not exactly a real good example of that verse, and things are a little rough around the edges. So, I skipped some notes here. So, I got some things out of here I want to read to you. And then I was also thinking about Doug's question this morning about how we... well, the verse I read in class this morning was, exhort one another while it's today. And then Doug's question was, well, how do we do that in reality? And I love that when somebody says that, because it's really easy to give an answer like, yep, we got to do that while we have the opportunity, which is what I said, and or something like that, and that's what we're supposed to do. And then it's like somebody says, well, okay, how are you going to do that? And that's very, very good. Maybe that's where the burning tires came from. Okay. okay. I wanted to read to you about singing in this guy's book. He's a doctor. He does spec scans on brains, which, very crudely, it tells you where the blood and the energy is going into the brain. So he looks at people's brains and can tell what part of the brain is firing and what part isn't. And so that's what he does. Okay. He's done that for, I was going to try and remember some of the numbers and stuff. It's an incredible amount of numbers and years. All right. So singing is good for your brain. It used to be easy to tell if I was in a good mood in the morning. That's the author here speaking. I would start singing when I rolled out of bed. When I was sad, anxious, or irritated, I would be wrapped up in my own misery and little sound would come out. Once I recognized a pattern, I started to sing no matter how I felt. Singing has healing qualities, even if you are like me and not very good at it. It expands the lungs and increases the flow of oxygen to the body and brain. It wakes us up and stimulates the rhythms of life. Singing and music, not always the same, have been connected to intelligence, creativity, emotion, and memory. When you put certain information to a tune, such as the ABCs, a Mozart piece, he likes Mozart a lot. Mozart is good for your brain as well. You are more likely to remember it. Singing stimulates temporal lobe function, an area of the brain heavily involved in memory. When you can sing new information, put it to a tune, you are more likely to remember it. Preschool and kindergarten teachers use singing to enhance learning. So why do we stop singing in the second and third grade? Perhaps we should continue the singing into later grades. When I was a basic trainee in military, we often sang when we marched. I still have those songs in my head. When we sang as a group, morale and energy went up, and the tasks that we were doing didn't seem quite as bad, like 20-mile road marches. Sing whenever and wherever you can. You may have to sing softly if your voice is like mine, so as not to irritate others. Sing loudly if your voice is beautiful. In a similar way, humming can also make a positive difference in mood and memory. Mozart hummed as he composed. Children hum when they are happy. Adults often hum tunes that go through their minds, lifting their spirits and tuning their mind. Consciously focus on humming during the day. As the sound activates your brain, you will feel more alive and your brain will feel more tuned in to the moment. The fact that music enhances spiritual experience should come as no surprise. Nearly all major religions have music as part of the worship service. Brain science gives us some clues as to why. Music is processed in the right temporal lobe, the same area that is now referred to as the God spot in the brain. Neuroscience researchers have found that stimulating the outside of the right temporal lobe also stimulates religious and spiritual experience. In addition, insight, or the aha experience, also activates the right temporal lobe. Music has the potential to stimulate both spiritual experience and insight. When you are faced with a difficult problem, it may be a good idea to play some music and allow your brain to work on the puzzle while it listens. Music helped Thomas Jefferson write the Declaration of Independence. When he could not figure out the right wording for a certain part, he would play his violin. The music helped him get words from his brain onto the paper. And he goes on for several pages more. But anyway, I thought that was pretty impressive. And that comes into play later. That's part of my plan, is singing. So, okay. And then prayer. Let's see here. All right. The heading for this section is use regular prayer and or meditation. Maintaining a regular prayer life or meditative practice creates many health benefits, mostly by calming the stress response. That's good, right? We all need that. Larry Dossey, Healing Words, and Dale Matthews, The Faith Factor, and others have written books outlining the scientific evidence for the medical benefits of prayer and other meditative states. Some of these benefits are reduced feelings of stress, lower cholesterol levels, improved sleep, reduced anxiety and depression, fewer headaches, more relaxed muscles, and longer lifespan. People who pray or read the Bible every day are 40% less likely to suffer from hypertension than others. In 1998, Duke University study of 577 men and women hospitalized for physical illness showed that the more patients use positive spiritual coping strategies, in parentheses, seeking spiritual support from friends and religious leaders, having faith in God and praying, the lower their level of depressive symptoms and the higher their quality of life. So, kind of nice to have somebody else say that works, I guess. So, we need to honestly look at ourselves and see the weaknesses or the good things. We need to look at the good things as well, figure out what we're doing right, and to accept what we see. And then ask for forgiveness and then make a plan to correct it, because it doesn't make a whole lot of use to figure out what the problem is. Yeah, those lug nuts are loose, so I'll just keep driving and maybe the centrifugal force will tighten them up for me. Something like that. Don't think that'll work. So we need to make a plan to fix it. And as somebody who likes to plan, I'm not so good at carrying them out so much of the time, but I like to make plans. And I have noticed that you need to do the minimum amount in order to get the result you want. I think that's a Tim Ferriss, Ferris thing. But it makes a whole lot of sense, because I would make these fitness plans that involved 3-4 days a week, and I would have them all written out, and, you know, how long it was going to take and all this stuff. And about 2 weeks later, that's out the window. So what you want to do is you want to figure out what the minimum is to fix your problem and do that, and then you start getting benefits from it, and it's like, oh, this is working. And so I'll just keep doing this, and it's a lot easier to do that, and then you end up being much further ahead than if you had this grand and glorious plan that didn't work at all. So go with the minimum. So, let's see. Part of my plan, I actually came up with this. Destry led a song. It was a very short song, and it was over. And I still don't know how to sing it right. But step by step. I copied it. So my goal is, this is part of my plan also, so I'm telling you what I'm going to do, and then if I don't do it, I'm going to be embarrassed. So every morning I want to sing this song. Well, right now it's kind of funny because I sing a line, and I'll start the next line. Oh, I was supposed to repeat that. So I go back, and then I'm like, no, I wasn't supposed to repeat that. And then, but so the song ends up being a lot longer than it's supposed to be, and very choppy. But anyway, it's the words that count, right? So every morning I want to sing a song. And eventually I'll probably change it. I'll probably get tired of that one or find a better one, you know, how life goes. And so singing has never been much of a big part of my life. I've never really given it much thought other than it's what we do at church. And so I'm seeing more and more value in it all the time. And let's see, reading. I've been reading since November. I think I've even said this before. I have a chronological Bible where somebody, I don't even remember the guy's name now, but he took and tried to cut the Bible all up in pieces and then try to put it in an order. So it starts with John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's what it starts with. And then so it's not chronological in the sense of how it's written, it's chronological in how the story plays out. And that's why I like it. It's like reading a story. And so anyway, I divided the number of pages up by the number of days in the year, and so it comes up to 5. So I've been reading 5 pages a day. I'm about a week behind. So just to let you know, I don't always do it. And and that's a guess. It might be more like a month. I don't know. I really don't know. I lost track. So I guess I'll find out in November if I'm done or not. So, but that's another thing I'm doing. I'm just pouring it in. That's my goal there. I'm going for bulk, Sam's style. Just go buy the biggest package of toilet paper that you can. And it has helped. I have, when we're talking in class or anything like that, it's constantly linking back to ideas in my head. And, oh, yeah, and that story I just read, that's what, you know. So it is linking up. It's making connections. So this is good. Another thing I do, I've been doing this for a while, but I need to fire it up again. I write notes for myself. I leave notes, especially if I have a problem with something, I'll leave a note where I try to outsmart myself. where I think I'll find it when I'm not doing so well. And so I usually write these in code. So if somebody else finds them, I think, well, what is he writing about? So I write them not in code. I don't like, not like algebra or anything like that. But I just use words that I know what it means, but hopefully nobody else does. So anyway. And then I leave them in my wallet, on the dashboard of my van, which either they're making the sticky less sticky or the putting Teflon on them dashes or something. I don't know, but they don't stick very well anymore. My lunchbox and electronic devices. So, anyway. That's about all my thoughts. I mean, I got more. But it's not very organized. I wanted to end with Psalm 16. You know, I never liked Psalms very much either. And since my appreciation for music is growing, my appreciation for Psalms is growing, which I guess that goes hand in hand. Psalm 16, 8 through 11. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make me known, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, that was kind of speaking, part of that was about prophecy of Jesus, I believe. And I'm assuming it's written by David. But a lot of times David would write Psalms whenever he was very low. And especially if my chronological author of the Bible is correct, he tried to even put the Psalms where David would have written them. I'm not quite sure how he figured that out, probably by the wording. But and a lot of times, David, like Absalom, when he was taking over the kingdom, and he wrote some Psalms, if he's correct, at that point, that were praising God and that kind of thing. And so that impressed me as well. So that's what my thoughts for today. Meditation, we're all meditators, whether you know it or not. I hope you know it now. But when you're muttering, think about that being a meditation going straight to God. That ought to put the clamps on the vocal cords, maybe. And maybe, for me, it'll help help me consider my mundane moments more carefully. So, anyway, we'll offer the invitation. God has a great, I don't know what you call it, insurance plan for really bad times. Things can be going absolutely horrible, and if you got God, then you got everything you need. So, if you want to partake in that, you can do so. Come forward as we stand, sing, and close in song.